The word improvisation rarely comes up in classical music these days, unlike a couple of hundred years ago when pianists would wow audiences by playing fantasias. Jazz is now the form where improvisation is seriously practiced, but a new record called Marvelous Fantasy explores the connections between jazz and its musical ancestors. It's by the jazz and classical pianist Harold O'Neill, who leads a kind of improvised life. And he now joins me here in the studio. Harold O'Neill, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me here.
So here you are playing at this big Steinway, and you perform solo piano, and you also play in groups. Are those both gratifying things, or would you rather just be on your own?
They're so different. They're just completely different worlds. I almost feel like I'm a whole other person.
Really?
I feel like I have to sit at the piano. For all these shows, I have to sit at the piano a different way. I approach it differently. When I'm doing the hip-hop stuff, I'm standing playing keyboards the whole time, and I'm practically dancing the whole time.
Uh-huh.
And when I'm playing jazz, it's different. When I'm playing solo piano, I go into character, imagining myself being 150 years ago in front of a piano next to a window playing, uh-huh. You know. So,
did you start out, was piano your first musical portal?
I started playing piano in junior high school and then started taking classical lessons from a woman named Margie Cameron Jarrett in my sophomore year of high school.
No relation to Keith.
No, but what is interesting, though, is that her teacher studied with Liszt.
Her teacher studied with Franz Liszt?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
I don't even know.
Some really old people.
Yeah.
Wow. So tell me about this new album, which is not like most jazz records, mm-hmm. which I like more than typical jazz records, mm-hmm. for the most part. It is very much a hybrid of classical and jazz forms, yeah?
Yes, totally. Because when I was a kid, listening to music, I didn't know what style anything was.
Right.
I knew that, okay, this was happy, this is sad.
Right.
I don't know what this is, but I know what it's like to feel this way.
So you didn't have the names, the pigeonholes, the dates of composition. You just responded to the things you responded to.
Yeah, exactly. Huh. I had certain songs that I liked as a kid, seeing them on TV and in film, and I wanted to learn how to play them.
Like what?
So this was, a long time ago, Who Framed Roger Rabbit. There is a scene in there.
Which came out when you were about 10?
Something like, I might have even been younger than that.
Yeah,
so Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and there is a scene where Donald Duck and Daffy Duck are playing the piano and they're battling each other, and I think they're playing Hungarian Rhapsody number 2.
Does anybody understand what this duck is saying?
And then I said, wow, that's amazing. What is that? I want to learn how to do that. And it didn't come out too pretty, you know.
But you were trying.
I was trying. I was going for it, you know. But
I'm so glad that since in my childhood, Looney Tunes was the way I learned about all kinds of stuff, including classical music. I'm glad that the next generation of Looney Tunes taught a kid to love classical music.
Yeah, it wasn't even like they were saying, this is classical music.
Right.
And it was just,
Daffy and Donald playing music.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and it just seemed appropriate what they're doing.
Well, let's stop talking for a bit, and mm-hmm. maybe you can play the title track from this album, Marvelous
Sure.
Fantasy. Great.
Yeah.
Thank you. you could go on all day. Yeah. That is lush. That is Harold O'Neill playing Marvelous Fantasy off his new album of the same name. Now, how do you go about creating that song? Let me just ask very stupidly and straightforward. Is it in your head and you do notation and write it all down? Do you play little bits and pieces until it comes together? How does it work, really?
Well, this piece in particular, out of the whole album, was the most difficult one to, and intentionally so, is the title piece. I wanted it to be big. Even before I was working on this album, my gut was just saying, take these classical pieces that I like, and I like the things they're doing, and just analyze them harmonically. Analyze the structure, the mechanics of what they're doing technically, and break it down and then turn it into a drill. So say, for example, like if I'm just looking at it, like that's just a certain voicing that they might use and the certain way that they're playing these arpeggios, like harps, you know? So mm-hmm. I just run it like a drill.
And then once you get a passage that you're happy with, how do you say, okay, that's good. Do you remember it?
Yeah, none of the stuff I wrote down.
So as you're starting that drill for the first time, you don't know where it's going to go.
No.
30 seconds, a minute from then?
Yeah. And the way I do, like once the drill starts moving, then I try to sing with it and create a melody. So say, for example, if I'm doing this drill. So I have that going on, and then I'll just play a melody. And then I'll just basically I just run the drill enough till it becomes second nature, and then I just throw it in the bag of arsenal of improvisation.
I would want to, once you have a passage that you're happy with, I would want to record it or have somebody notate it or something.
Right.
You don't. You just keep it in your head.
Yeah, and you know what? There is a price for that. I mean, say, for example, when I just played Marvelous Fantasy today, there were some things that were a little different about it, but the main theme was pretty much the same. I mean, but so much of it was improvised to a degree that day of the recording, you know.
So when you meet a stranger in a mm-hmm. restaurant or on mm-hmm. an airplane or something, and they say, oh, what do you do? Oh, I'm a musician. What kind of music do you say you play?
Oh, you know what? It just sometimes it depends on the kind of person they are. What I'm noticing for them, like if they come in, they're all dressed, all hip hopped out and stuff.
Yeah.
Then I'll say, well, I'm a producer. I do hip hop, done, you know, da 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 da. And then eventually I'll say, but most of the stuff I do is jazz,
right?
And some classical. You know, I kind of do a blend of Gershwin and Ravel, and
you're sampling the classical
yes,
repertoire.
Exactly.
Well, actually, right. I hear a lot of. You mentioned Ravel. I hear Ravel. I hear Satie and Debussy, those French guys from 100 years ago in a lot of your music on this record. I want to play a little bit of Ravel and see the degree to which it might have been an influence.
Sure.
This is A Boat on the Ocean is the English translation from Miroir's Reflections by Maurice Ravel. So that's Maurice Ravel. Is that a direct influence on you?
That is one of the pieces. Yeah.
And I could see how that could dissolve, melt into a jazz version of mm-hmm. itself and vice versa. Do you see like a strong kind of family connection?
Oh yeah, totally. Totally, for sure. Yeah, especially with Ravel is one of my favorites.
It's interesting that those guys, like Ravel and mm-hmm. Satie and Debussy were all alive as jazz was being invented in this
yeah.
country, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And we're not that far off in, as far as relation. We're like cousins.
Exactly.
Or something.
So we've talked about all kinds of influences. What about specific jazz influences? I read a critic who said that he hears Duke Ellington in the track called Lovers, The Lovers on this mm-hmm. new record. Mm-hmm. What other of the jazz greats or less well-known players have influenced you?
Yeah. Well, my number one influence on the piano is playing jazz is Kenny Kirkland. He was my favorite. And then aside from that, I've got Bud Powell, Monk, McCoy uh-huh. Tyner, Chick Corea, Herbie.
You grew up in Kansas City.
Yes.
Did that have any influence effect on you becoming a jazz musician?
Oh, yeah, totally. The neighborhood I grew up in was right down the street from the historic 18th and Vine District, 12th and Vine District. My grandmother walked to school with Charlie Parker.
Really?
Where my parents live now is like a few blocks away from Charlie Parker's childhood home. The building is still there, you know. And when I was in high school, because of that table already being set with the history, I mean, they were so supportive and appreciative of what me and some of the other young fellows were trying to
right.
do.
How many hours a day do you get to play the piano, usually?
I'm trying to beat around the bush. To tell the truth, I really don't get a chance to practice that much.
Really?
Yeah, so there's sometimes...
So that's without practicing. Imagine what you could do if you got to practice all the time. Harold O'Neill, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
And I'd love it if you could play us out with The Lovers.
Sure thing.
Harold O'Neill's new album is called Marvelous Fantasy. And at our website, studio360.org, you can see a video not only of his gorgeous performance at the Steinway, but you can see him breakdancing right here as well. That's studio360.org.